Blog Talk Radio.
There's a gift, there's a light in your heart. You just can't contain it. When we all play our part around the world, it's just so amazing. With our hands and our hearts, we can build this bridge together. With our wisdom and through our art, we can make the change for the better.
Unconditional love enables you to communicate at the frequency necessary to access your higher self, your divine self. Love cannot be created in your own image. You cannot hold it and mold it to make it fit. love without condition, when you remove all barriers to love and yield to love, trusting every thought, you move into universal oneness and experience the true power of love. Welcome to Peace Talks on Now Time Radio. This is your host, Audrey Scott Williams, and I'm grateful to have an opportunity to be with you today and to share thoughts and wisdom and information that I think could be helpful to all of us as we move forward on our path of evolution. This week we have spent a tremendous amount of energy on just being in a posture of gratitude. I can hear Karen's voice now saying, okay, what are you grateful for? And that's a beautiful way to begin your day and end your day. If you can get in the habit of, as you wake up, you know, just as you're about to get out of bed, lay there for an extra 10 seconds and try to name 10 things that you're grateful for that morning. And do the same thing when you get ready to go to bed tonight. Just before you close your eyes, take 10 minutes or less and think of 10 things that happened during the day or that are present in your life and give thanks. Just remember them in absolute gratitude. Here at the Quantum Leap Transformational Center, we say, what are you grateful for? And then we just rattle off all the things that we're grateful for, at least those two times a day. But often we try to remember to do it maybe 3, 4, 5 times a day, especially in those moments when it's easy to slip into worry and anxiety because something might not be going right, because the finances may not be what you want them to be. We find during this time that's a big issue on so many people, and it has an impact so greatly on other aspects of your life. So whenever those moments rise up in you, just, as Cece used to say, stop and drop. Get from the head into the heart and just connect with those things that you're most grateful for in the moment. Today's show is dedicated actually to a presentation I wanted to provide on the video that I did a few years back when I was traveling with the Worldwide Indigenous Science Network and other projects around the world with elders and having an incredible amount of infusion of great, great wisdom from not only elders but young people as well. You know, they often say out of the mouth of babes. And so when you know, being in the middle of some great young people, wisdom keepers, and great elders, who many of whom now have made their transition to the realm of ancestors, you know, I was really gifted so much. And I had the opportunity to work with a lot of the footage that was collected during these years, probably talking about from about 2002 to 2005, 2006, somewhere around there. And so I took this footage and I said, well, let me do a little 20-minute piece for my graduate work. At the time, I was enrolled in the master's program at Naropa University studying Indigenous mind. And as I sat down with the footage, accompanied by my dear friend, Renrik Tuluk, we started going through some of the footage, and it emerged, it went from a 20-minute student project to an hour-and-a-half video presentation that holds its own, shot in the rough, put together to create a spiral, not a linear way of delivering a documentary, but in fact a spiral. And the reason why it was held together that way is because I found that through this journey, I not only had an opportunity to be in this awesome presence over these years, but I also had the opportunity to lose my mind, if you will. And by that, I mean to disconnect from everything that I thought made a difference in the world, way of being in the world, as I began to embrace more of an Indigenous mind. It didn't always fit perfectly with my world. And so things began to fall apart, only to be remembered in another way. And so I wanted to present Ashe in a way that took everyone could enter at any point in the video and go on their own journey. Just by journeying with me, it really ignited the journey within them. And so I call Ashe Igniting the Power Within a video documentary that really is a journey. It's a journey into our own ancientness, if you will. The video is available on my website, www.audreyscottwilliams.com. And if you're listening for the first time, Audrey is A-U-D-R-I. So Audrey Scott Williams, all is one word, .com. You can go there. You can access the video from there. You can also access the companion book that goes with it and other things that I've written. But this video documentary that I often refer to as a video ceremony really embraces those life-charging experiences. I remember when I wrote life-charging and the editor came back and said, did you mean life-changing? I said, maybe I did initially, but when I hear life-charging, that's exactly what they were, life-charging experiences. What was so unique about Ashe is that in the making of it, I grew into a modern-day storyteller, deeply rooted in the foundation of antiquity, and yet equipped with all these modern tools, you know, the video footage, the camera, the computer, and ultimately a knowing that a story needed to be told. So I began this process by just taking stock of where I was in the moment, what was showing up. And I decided to use the traditional knowledge approach to telling my story. So through that process, just allowing from the footage what came forward to come forward, I began to find my way into the making of the film, Ashe. As I mentioned before, it neither has a beginning or end. You could actually start anywhere in the film. And one of the things that I'm often asked when people, by audiences, when they see Ashe, is why did I make the video? And I want to read a quote from the companion book. The first answer that came to me was that as a truth seeker, I had no choice. My process of remembering required me to listen to what was calling me and to honor that call in the best way that I knew how. As is often shared in the Indigenous Mind program, an Indigenous scientist begins where he or she is, learning from direct and immediate experience with the surrendering world. And then my second response was that I had a responsibility to tell the story unfolding in me. The process of creating Ashe reminded me of Angelus Arian's Fourfold Way. And if you have an opportunity to get the book Fourfold Way Program, you can actually go to her website, www.angelus, A-N-G-E-L-A-S-A-R-R-I-E-N.com, and find out more about the Fourfold Way Program. But my process in creating Ashe is really founded on that. And the first step in that Fourfold Way is show up and choose to be present. That is also, ironically, a theme for all of our walks. Show up, number one. If you can't do anything if you don't show up, everything else is a mental game that we're playing with ourselves. But when you show up, you allow the opportunity to happen. And just be present to the moment. Allow, we have on the trail, we say create an allowing space for all things to come forward. So step two in the fourfold way is pay attention to what has heart and meaning. The third step is tell the truth without blame or judgment. And the fourth is be open to outcome, but not attached to outcome. So in the video ceremony, Ashe, I can honestly say that what came forward actually approached me and called me into the passion to birth the process. So all these images and messages that the elders were bringing forward and images that we had became like nourishment for my own way of remembering. So the more I studied them, the more the story began to unfold, or the process began to unfold. Not only unfold, but capture me. I discovered what an opportunity, just at some point in the process, and I don't remember where, going through all the footage, I discovered what an opportunity I had to pull all of this together and share it with the world. Little was I to know that not long after completing this project, that three of the four featured elders in Ashe would make their transition. So that's why it's so important. Be open to the outcome, but not attached, because you want the energy of the process to guide you. Remember, paying attention to what has heart and meaning. The process also called my own inner journey to the surface. And as any of us begin a journey, I think it was Maladoma Somei who said that when you start a journey, you think you're in control of the journey. But the moment you step into the journey has you. And that was certainly the case with the making of Ashe. So through all the spiraling of energy and the twisting turns, trying to figure out what I was doing, here I was at the computer, my modern-day sacred site, the editing room where the computer was. And my etchings of sacred markings on the cave walls became the footage that was then brought into this process, the footage that was selected for the telling of this story. And it was my way of carving evidence of the collective wisdom of my tribe. In other words, I'm sitting here with all these elders, all this footage, my tribe. And it became my way of carving my evidence that we were here for eternity into this process. And so showing up and making a choice to be present was what led me on each of the journeys where I went and actually had all this footage, whether it was in Ghana, West Africa, Johannesburg, Benin and Togo, Hawaii, Louisiana, here in the U.S., in other states. All of that showing up and paying attention led me down this journey. So paying attention to what has heart and meaning actually led me to choose the actual footage that became a part of the video. And it really taught me the importance of being in the heart. Now, I could have done this in a linear fashion, but it didn't have the same meaning to me. But as soon as I began to deal with it from an indigenous standpoint, just coming straight out of my heart, paying attention to what had heart and meaning, next thing I knew, I was totally into the process. And so Ashe then began to shape itself into eight different segments. One, the opening prayer, going from the prayer to the stone teachings, and then into the life-giving waters, then a conversation around the new spiritual warriors, then fifth is dreams and visions, number six is prophecies and teaching, number seven, blood, the life force, and eight, the way of change. So I really want to encourage you, if you'd like to access Ashe again, to visit my website where you can get it. I based Ashe on, and imagine now at this time, I'm in a master's program where I'm learning the indigenous mind. And so Dr. Apila Colorado, actually, who was the director of the program, came up with nine ways of accessing the indigenous mind as an indigenous scientist, someone going out there to study the world from an indigenous perspective. And so this was very important to the process as well. The indigenous science, scientist is an integral part of the research process, and that in this regard is not the outside observer, but rather is an integral part of the research process. Number two, all of nature is considered to be intelligent and alive, thus an active research partner. So you'll notice that in Ashe, all of the natural elements are honored, and that's why, you know, early on we deal with the stone teachings. We talk about life-giving waters. We talk about the dreams and visions and all aspects of nature, because nature is a partner in this process. We have a relationship not only with each other but with Mother Earth. Third, the purpose of indigenous science is to maintain balance. So in this process for me, balance was a major cornerstone, because I was actually in between worlds, if you will, in a Western world and in an indigenous mind or the indigenous way to knowledge. And those weren't always complementary. So in this telling of the story, wanting to take people into my experience or the viewer into my experience, I had to balance that. Number four, compared to Western time space notions, indigenous science collapses time and space, with the result that our field of inquiry and participation extend into and overlap with past and present. So in this sense, time is more of a circle. Time and space are more circular. And as that's why I said early on that if you watch the video, Ashe, you could really watch it at any point, begin anywhere in the documentary, because it is circular. It's not linear. Number five, indigenous science is concerned with relationships. We try to understand and complete our relationships with all living things. I think I spoke of that already. Number six, indigenous science is holistic, drawing on all the senses, including the spiritual and psychic. Number seven, the end point of an indigenous scientific process is a known and recognized place. This point of balance is both peaceful and electrifyingly alive. In the joy of exact balance, creativity occurs, which is why we can think of our way of knowing as a life science. Wow. I must say how true that was. I can remember, you know, on the journeys, how peaceful and beautiful things were, but they were so peaceful and so beautiful. It was electric. There were times when it was so electric. I remember even traveling with the elders on a bus going through South Africa. We were out on the Svelte near the cradle of civilization, and all of a sudden the elders burst out in song. They would just sing. You know, Mr. McCoy was famous for that. He knew every song. But his favorite was, you know, I Got the Power. And so it was like the peace and the beauty and the grace of being in this place of balance just called forward the music, the desire to capture it with our creativity. Number eight, when we reach the moment, place of balance, we do not believe that we have transcended. And to an indigenous scientist, we say that we are normal. Always we are embodied in the natural world. And number nine, my favorite, the elders were absolutely full of, was humor. Humor is a critical ingredient of all truth-seeking. In even the most powerful rituals, humor balances gravity. So that now you get a sense of the foundation upon which Ashe was created. And, wow. You know, I wish I could say so much more, but the opening prayer, it was so important to me, and it was funny because I had not intended to do this prayer. We were actually in South Africa at the Cradle of Humankind at a gathering one night. We were at the World Sustainable Development Conference there that was being held by the United Nations, and we were asked to do the opening prayer for a fireside gathering of a lot of the people who were in charge of development funds. So these are folks who had a lot of control over a lot of money. And Auntie Poi Poi just turns to me in an instant and says, okay, do the prayer. I didn't even have time to think, and so just went right from the heart into the prayer. And I just want to say, because we're not going to have time to do all of what I wanted to cover today in Ashe, but prayer is so important at the beginning of anything that you're doing, the beginning of the day, the beginning of a ceremony or a special gathering, because it is the unifying force. It is something that reminds us as human beings that we are not alone. In contrast to Western thought, where humans are said to be the be-all of creation, Indian prayer seeks the participation and assistance of many kinds of holy beings. It also expresses the unity of the universe or all of the reality. It is a means to commit minds and hearts to processes that heal, and it is a healing tool in and of itself. And that's from James W. Zion, Indian Restorative Healing. So Ashe begins with the prayer because it's so important to create that unifying force that brings all the participants into the sacred space. And so it opens in darkness because that's where we were here in South Africa around the fire in the night. And so you can barely see the images of myself and later Mr. Makua. But the prayer was really challenging all of us to look at our privilege. And it ends with, "It is not our will that directs us, but it is your will. We give thanks for so much that we are yet to learn. We ask forgiveness for the forgetting. We ask for your love, your strength, and your courage in our remembering." And the body of the prayer makes a plea to the participant that we need to begin to look at this question of privilege, not from the standpoint that privilege is wrong, but what are we doing with our privilege? Is our privilege calling us to action that benefits, harmonizes, and blesses all of humanity and Mother Earth? And following the prayer, Mr. Makua began a conversation about sovereignty. And he said that from his point of view, sovereignty has to do with the idea of sharing, cooperation. We have already experienced separation, competition, aggression, and it is now time for us to move from a negative polarity to a positive polarity. He says it's said by the ancestors that each person is like a magnet. You attract to you whatever it is you want. Therefore, attraction's counterpart is repulsion. The positive polarity for attraction is acceptance. Accept who you are. And the positive polarity for acceptance is love. Positive polarity for love is ecstasy and joy. So Ashe, igniting the power within. Visit AudreyScottWilliams.com. Get your copy. Journey with watch once. It's something that you will watch over and over again. And each time you see it, you're going to find a deeper meaning that connects with you. This is your host, Audrey Scott Williams, on Peace Talks on Now Time Radio. Just wanted to remind you that the Wise Women program is going on. When wise women speak, wise women listen. Wanted you to remember that on October 9th, the guest speaker will be Ricky Beyer Beckwith and Christina Stevens, and they'll be talking about the transforming power of music. And you can go to, you can visit my website again and get information on that. You can also visit womenofspiritonline.com, womenofspiritonline.com. Want you to have a great week. Want you to just show up to what's showing up in your life with heart and with meaning and be in gratitude for all the gifts. Sometimes, no matter what it looks like, we have to remember that the guidance for what to do comes from our heart. Let's plant ourselves in that heart, Let's have faith in knowing that all is well. Let us move with the gratitude and allow that to guide our actions. Have a great week. This is your host, Audrey Scott Williams.